Time for a community connection brought to you by Caldwell Banker Lake Chelan Properties, the leading real estate firm in Central Washington. And joining us this morning during this legislative session, Senator Brad Hawkins. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeff. Good to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, terrific. Tell us, how are things progressing? I know everything's continuing virtually. Do you feel like you're making some headway?
You know, I do. I think, you know, we're getting our groove a little bit with the remote committee hearings. We haven't done a lot of voting in the full Senate yet, so I think that's still to be determined. But, you know, as far as my individual pieces of legislation, you know, that's moving along pretty well, too. This week, we're doing a lot of committee work, at least for the next couple weeks. And I have three different bills, and each of those are moving along in the process. And, in fact, I have a hearing on that hydrogen vehicle bill that we spoke about just briefly last week. That hearing is today before the Senate Transportation Committee. So there's a lot of committee work happening these days.
Let's talk briefly, if we could, about the proposed gas taxes, poised to create the largest gas tax in the nations. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's an interesting discussion. And personally, I've never voted for a gas tax. At some point, we're going to have an honest conversation in the state of Washington about how to maintain and preserve our existing road system and what to do for any new projects. The way it works in our state is that the gas tax is dedicated to roads. It's not something that can be utilized for other purposes. We have the operating budget that funds the day-to-day operations of state government, education, human services, higher education, natural resources. Those are all operating expenditures. We have the capital budget, which we're able to fund some infrastructure projects for. That's the budget that Representative Steele is very involved in. And that is largely on land acquisitions and building facilities, not road transportation projects. So the reality is if we want to build new projects in our state, new bridges, new roads, new state highways, and all those off-ramps and things like that, then we're going to need the revenue to do it. So the way it works with the gas tax is approximately about every 8 to 10 years, there are proposals that pass that have these revenue increases, which are gas taxes, vehicle fees, electric vehicle fees, and all these other things that collect a certain amount of money raised in revenue. And then there's a corresponding list of projects that are scheduled to be completed over a number of years. And they use the gas tax to pay for the projects. Unfortunately, we're running a little bit behind on the maintenance and preservation of our existing system, which to me is super important. But also, as more people, Jeff, drive more fuel-efficient vehicles and electric vehicles, they're still wearing down the roads, but we're actually, as a state, collecting less in the gas tax because of it. So there are some real challenges. I just don't know that this year is the year with the remote session that these major issues are going to get resolved.
I know you've been working with Governor Inslee to make all of the state public school employees eligible for the COVID-19 vaccine. Tell us how that all came about and what the process is now for educators.
Well, I guess if you say working with Governor Inslee, you know, it's been an interesting process. But back in January 7th, the governor and the Department of Health issued a COVID-19 vaccine guidance, which was scheduled timelines and dates and months for when people, based on certain criteria, could be eligible to get their vaccine. In that previous guidance, the governor separated out school employees. Those that were above the age of 50 would be eligible to get their vaccines in this next phase in February. But those that were under the age of 50 were actually pushed out until April or May. And if you remember, Jeff, there's two doses required to be vaccinated approximately 3 weeks apart. So by the time some of these school employees, which are teachers, administrators, and support staff, and a huge percentage of them are under the age of 50, by the time they would actually get vaccinated, get their two doses, it'd be the end of the school year. So I thought that was ridiculous. Plus, I thought these school employees who are helping to fulfill our state's paramount duty regarding education deserve protected, especially alongside these older Washingtonians who are getting vaccinated now, because some of them should be vaccinated, but some of them can also self-isolate, whereas the school employees cannot self-isolate. They're back in the classroom. They're interacting with hundreds of students and their parents and their colleagues. So I coordinated a letter to the governor with the help of my colleagues on the education committee, the chairs of the House and Senate education committees, to call upon the governor to revamp his vaccine protocols and rules. And he did. There was a lot of pressure that was put on him. After my letter was sent in, the statewide teachers union called upon the governor to do the same thing, so the superintendent of public instruction, and I received I was really busy that week with a lot of statewide media because there was a lot of interest in this because people want their schools to open up and they want their school employees to be safe. So I'm glad the governor did change his rules related to that.
One of the things we've been hearing a lot from listeners is frustration regarding distribution of the COVID-19 vaccine. I know we're getting underway today at Town Toyota Center with some drive-thrus. I guess all of those opportunities for vaccines have already been claimed all this week. Are you all able to help in any way get more of the product of the COVID-19 vaccine out into our area?
Well, I think getting more vaccine doses is very important. And my understanding is the federal government has and will continue to release more. Also, fortunately, those administering the vaccine are able to draw an additional dose out of each vial, at least through the Pfizer vials. There's two types of vaccines right now, Pfizer and Moderna. And I think there's one more vaccine likely to come on here soon. So I think as the supply ramps up, that's good. But also, I don't think it's all supply problems. You know, I have been frustrated, probably as frustrated as I have been in the 8 years that I've served in the legislature at the kind of the top-down approach the governor and the Department of Health has taken. You know, having so many rules and so much strict criteria, it was confusing for a lot of the people who were administering the vaccine. And unfortunately, a lot of the vaccines, not necessarily in the Chelan and Douglas County area, but a lot of the vaccines statewide that have been allocated have gone unadministered. And to me, if that's the case, if that's an issue due to bureaucracy, you know, that's frustrating to me. What I would prefer, Jeff, would be that the governor and the Department of Health allocate vaccines to regions proportional to population and allow the local health districts and healthcare practitioners and their local officials to partner with each other to have full flexibility to distribute the vaccines at the local level. Personally, I think that would be good. Now, the governor, in his most recent announcement last week, did change that rule for school employees, but he also designated some regional distribution centers. The Town Toyota Center, and as you mentioned, has been one of those. So I'm excited. But the groups that have actually done the best at administering the vaccines have been the tribes, because the tribes are sovereign. They've been allocated certain vaccine doses based on their population, but they haven't been stuck to the same rigid rules that are in Washington State. So they line people up in cars and they drive by, they roll down their window, roll up their sleeve and get vaccinated. And they've done a good job, and I think we're going to come around as well.
Before we run out of time, I know you're the ranking member for early learning and K-12 education. Any news that we need to share there?
Well, next meeting, which is tomorrow, my bill related to addressing learning loss by exploring alternative school calendars is actually likely to be approved by the committee. Currently, school districts have 180 school days that are funded by the state, and most school districts take 3 months off in the summer. Well, you know, there's a lot of reteaching that occurs statewide every September. So one of my ideas for just the school districts that want to, at least 30 school districts out of the nearly 300, let's incentivize them to spread out those 180 days over the full 12-month period. It's sort of a year-round school calendar approach. And again, it's totally voluntary, but if we get good data from those school districts, maybe it will help inform what the state may want to do statewide over the next 3 to 10 years. So I'm excited for that bill to be moving out of committee, and I think it's an important conversation to be had, especially as we pull out of this COVID pandemic with all the learning loss that has occurred, and then also the annual learning loss that occurs every summer by taking that long break. We've never designed the system this way. If we had to design it anew, it's just we're so used to the traditions and everything that we take 3 months off every summer. So I am excited about that, Jeff. Thanks for asking.
We sure appreciate your time this morning. Any final thoughts you'd like to share, Senator?
Well, we're a couple weeks into the session so far. I'm holding my own with my bills and my remote testimony and all those sort of things, but I think we're also holding our own with our level of customer service that my office provides constituents. Even though we're all located, my staff, we're all in different locations working remotely, we still have worked really hard to maintain a level of customer service that we pride ourselves in. But if people have questions about issues, if listeners want to know the status of different bills or share their concerns with me, please email our office, call my office. We are here to serve you. We've been getting hundreds of emails a day, but I think we've been holding our own in terms of getting people prompt responses too. So if people have any questions, look me up at SenatorBradHawkins.org, and you can get all my contact information off my website.
Thank you so much for your time this morning. We do appreciate it, Senator.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, you be well.